Fantasy Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. What can the Cowboys fix during the bye week, or is it a lost cause? And, you know, one of the things I continue to think back about is just an hour or so ago, Mickey talking about, like, you don't have 2 weeks. You have 1 week. The players are off right now. And you can hope that all the players are doing this, that, and the other, but you're not seeing them every day. And so it's not just about the Cowboys, but I do kind of wonder now how much people really get better during their bye week.
Yeah, because I remember when Bill Parcells was here, he was like, man, the bye week is like, I wish I could remember the term, sailors at the harbor or whatever.
Shore leave?
Yeah, shore leave. He was like, it's like that. And I tried not to let it be like that, yeah. But like, you really don't know. Once you let those guys go, you don't know what they're going to do. I think guys like, I'm not sure, Mike, I think guys like Dak and maybe CeeDee Lamb probably are working on their bodies, trying to make sure their body's right for the week and making, you know, looking at film and stuff. I think that, because I feel like Dak is kind of obsessive with some of the stuff that he wants to be.
In a good way, yeah.
Yeah, in a good way. I think that guys like Micah, probably he's doing his podcast, but he's also trying to make sure he gets his rehab done. So that's where I kind of get concerned. Is Micah going to be ready whenever he gets back? Or is he just going to be rehabbed when he gets back? But the other guys, do they just take it as a mental break? And then, you know, they're like, okay, I just got to get away from it. Or how else do they treat it? I don't know exactly what these guys do in this week off that they have.
I'm going to ask a question based off this instead of saying what can be improved right now.
Okay.
Do you believe the Cowboys can mentally come back ready to play good football the rest of the season? With what just happened yesterday here on our station, with how they've been blown out somewhat in their three losses. I get they kind of came back against Baltimore and made it competitive in the end. But they have to be, I'm just throwing out my opinion now, mentally shot. And I don't know if they believe that this is going to be a good team.
Okay, that's something that concerns me. Because the part of believing your coaches have solutions for you, I mean, just think about your everyday work. If something's not going right at work,
yeah,
and you look to your boss and your boss is like, I don't have any answers.
Yeah.
You're like, well, what the hell am I supposed to do? I got to go draw the plays up myself now. And so I do wonder if they're coming back from that going, hey, coach, do you have answers? Well, McCarthy sent them away and said, you need to answer some questions yourself. How much do you want this? And if they take that seriously, some guys are probably looking around going, man, I might need to have a new job next year. There might be coaches right now that are looking around going, I might need to have a new job next year, and probably having that bi-week conversation with their agents. There are other guys that are, they're here, they're signed for a few years, and they're all committed to let's go do this thing. So I am concerned, Mike, about the players' belief that when they get back, the coaches will have some answers for what they need, other than we just have to be a bit more talented team. Jerry's saying that there's nobody yet from the outside is going to help. We're not making any trades to make moves. That's the creativity of the front office that you're asking for. Hey, man, Devontae Adams just went to a team that wants to be, that Aaron Rodgers says is all in. Amari Cooper just got traded. There are teams out there that are making moves. I mean, Cam Akers just gets traded. Those things are happening. So it's that when we see the Rangers do that, don't we always feel like it's a shot in the arm to the team? They added somebody. Our front office believes in us. They believe we can do it. And let's go out and prove them right. So I wonder if they're walking back into the doors and they're going, we think we can. We just got to fix some things.
Okay. That's where I get a little conflicted. It's a great question. And I look at my face because I'm like, I don't know the answer to that question. So that's what I'm trying to figure out, Corey. And I know it's tough because we're not going to be able to dive into the psyche of every single one of these players. Do they believe...
Especially because we're not football guys.
That's true. Do they believe that the Jones family believes in them, or...
Which the Jones family has consistently said they believe in that room.
So, those are football guys.
Absolutely. Do they believe...
They all sat at the bench at Arkansas.
Do they believe that's why they believe in them? Because they're like, no, we got the right people. We can do this. Or do you think they're like, Man, the cap hit for Dak next year is $89 million. I might be taking a $16 million hit with Zach Martin. I need to carry over my cap space. That's why I'm not trading for anybody. I need to protect my draft assets. That's why I'm not trading for anybody. I'm not trading for anybody or doing anything because I can't afford it in future years. So my default answer is I believe in our guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I can't figure out because...
And Jerry's never... Whether you can say to his credit or not, he's never given up on a season.
No,
he
doesn't.
They can be 1-5 at a trade deadline. They can be 3-3 and look like crap at this trade deadline. Because really, I said this yesterday, Kevin, the right thing to do right now, and it doesn't help with DeMarcus Lawrence's foot or Zach Martin, or name the players that you don't think are going to be impactful in 2025, 26, and 27. Eric Kendricks.
Yes.
Start naming players. You should be trying to trade. You should be in the Cleveland Browns situation. You should be looking at this team going, if all we can do is draft, that's the only way we can add to this team. Well, then we need to get, we're going to try to get 12 to 14 picks per year. And if that's the case, and as you look at the players that you're probably not going to use in the future, you need to trade all of them as they get close to free agency so that you can have 12 picks every year to try to help your team out.
Look, and I agree with you on that. I think the issue that we continue to run into, well, first of all, we don't get to make any of these decisions, but also our definition of if this season is worth fighting for is probably a lot different than the ownership, right? Like, to me, I'm thinking, do you have a chance? Not to say that you're the favorite or anything like that, but do you have a legit chance to make it to the playoffs, make some noise, and then just see what happens? Because right now, it feels impossible to say yes.
Why?
Like, I'm not saying that can't change.
But why? You're 3-3. You're not out of the hunt in your own division.
I'm with Corey. They're a little bit in the Texas Rangers trade deadline situation where it's like,
we're
not good. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
The Rangers knew they weren't good, but they weren't really bad. And their record and where they were at in their division suggested Houston's not very good. Seattle's not very good. Could we just sneak into this thing and get lucky? And I think the Cowboys have to look at right now, the NFC sucks, the whole thing.
Sure.
Minnesota, you can't be really threatened by them if you have to play them in a playoff game right
just
now.
Just wait until tomorrow.
I know, and maybe so. But Detroit just had a major injury that, like, Micah Parsons is coming back. Aiden Hutchinson, I know they're saying he's coming back, but that's going to be
very unlikely.
Tough. So you just, San Francisco is not good this year. Now, they could change your mind next Sunday and go, well, crap, we can't compete with them. But I think right now the Cowboys, and I think they should trade, but this goes to Bobby Belton and me during late July.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, like, do you get? I understand they're not good. Everybody knows the Cowboys aren't good. Every human that's not Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones knows the Cowboys aren't good. But maybe they could sneak into the playoffs, and maybe for the first time in his life, Dak Prescott could actually play good in January.
The line that I kind of asked that question on too is, and this was same with the Rangers. You are what your record says you are.
Yeah,
you're a 3-3 team that's going into the bye with 11 games left in the season now. So, like, if you're looking at that, you're going, okay, I'm not out of it. So when I'm out of it, then I'll make a decision there. But I'm not out of it right now. The thing that being 3-3 doesn't take into account, you are what your record says you are, is the outcome of each individual game. And each one of those individual games has such a different and dramatically different story. The story of the Giants game is very uniquely different. You could have lost that game late in that game.
Sure.
Very easily. Sure. But you beat the Giants. You got thumped by a team that looks like they might go to the Super Bowl. You got thumped by a team that hasn't won another game since they've beaten you, too. And so that's where
that one hurts.
Each one of those games individually for you and for me and for other fans out there, because I have been a lifelong fan of this team first and foremost, the individual games make you feel like it's too much to overcome. Like you're too far underwater to do. But then you look at the record and you're like, okay, 3-3. Are these games really what we are? That's where the real breakdown of understanding your team. Chris Young, I can't decide if he knew his team was bad or if he was like, at some point, I mean, the World Series changed, that playoff run changed everything about what we thought that team was at the end of the year.
Yes.
So, like, in his mind, he must have gone, at some point, the light's going to flip on for him. But sometimes you have to be the one that flips the light on for your team. And sometimes a big move, a dramatic move, flips that light on.
And that's, I'm with you, but they're...
But I see what Mike's point of trading away is, too.
And that's why, this is the reason why I think I'm with that decision. You already have a whole foot in next season. You know, like, we're all in. Both of our feet are in this season. No, they're not. You are carrying over about $24 million in salary cap space because you know Dak has a massive salary cap hit next year. Now I realize they'll flip the switches and it'll go down and everything like that, but it's still a big hit. You're preparing that maybe Zach Martin won't be here. You're preparing to pay Micah Parsons. You're getting all of this stuff ready. That's why it is still shocking to me that the answer wouldn't be, oh, are you going to do something at the trade deadline? It's tough to say because we still have a ways to go and we need to know more about what's going to be available, blah, blah, blah. He just said no.
Yeah, he doesn't want to... Look, nothing's happening with the coaching staff.
Yes.
Stephen Jones said that on Monday. Nothing's happening with those. He doesn't want any uncertainty in there because if he said what you just said, uncertainty. But right now, he's like, no, we have a direction. That's what he's trying to get across.
Yeah.
Although nobody agrees with him.
Yeah. And I think that direction is misguided. If you're going to say this far out from the trade deadline or multiple weeks from the trade deadline, we're not doing anything. Well, what if they're like, hey, Cooper Kupp's available for a conditional sixth? Like, are you still like, oh, we like our guys? That doesn't make any sense because they're preparing for next year. They've been resetting their salary cap books for a couple of years now. We've talked about that a lot. That's why I would go along with that because you're already looking forward to 25, 26, whatever. They don't have to admit it. I'm telling you, it is happening. Yeah. That's why I would.
And Jerry's proven he will never pay the rest of his life for a free agent. And really, it might be Steven behind the scenes who's saying, we will never pay for agent the rest of my life. And if that's the case, Steven's probably living 40 more years. Maybe not that. I don't know how old he is, 50-something, so maybe he won't live 40 more years. But like, you have to look at the next 30 years, the Cowboys will not do free agency.
Yeah.
So if you won't do it, then it's only based off of the draft, which would mean I need more draft picks than other teams. If other teams are going to find a way to sign, I don't know, you name the free agent, Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I know that we're not supposed to say that word, but if we know that Baltimore's paying a crap ton of money for their quarterback and stuff like that, but they are willing to do it because they fell short again in the playoffs and they got to figure out another way how to beat Kansas City or beat whoever's in the playoffs that's up against them. Well, they're going to use this asset. They're going to use this thing called free agency, and they're going to use it. Well, if your team's like, we're never going to use it the rest of our lives. We're only going to, and nothing against Eric Kendricks. I'm using him as an example. Good free agent signing at the C level, right?
Yes.
We let the A level play out. We let the B level play out. Then we look at the C's and D's. Well, all right, if you're going to do that, then that means you cannot live in the world of 7 to 8 draft picks a year. You have to live into the world of 12 draft picks a year to give yourself a chance to replenish your depth and do what you need to do. And then you have to be willing to let go, and not just let go, trade some of your players that you're thinking about signing in the future, going, no, we do this only through the draft. And if we're doing it only through the draft, I need more draft picks. I don't need to sign Trayvon Diggs to a long-term contract. I need to trade him the year before he becomes a free agent so I can get more assets I can use.
And then if you're really doing a hard reset, you don't have to flip the switches on all of these contracts. You can go ahead and take some of the salary cap hits, knowing the bigger picture of what you're doing. But I understand. Don't have time for
a bad time.
But you got
to party in March, man. There's spring break, and there's a lot of people to party with. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And so that's why I'm frustrated about the Cowboys. To your original point, Corey, the reason why I'm frustrated right now is because I thought about it in the basketball terms. And I know we'll get to the Mavs in just a minute. But you always hear Jason Kidd or back in the day, Rick Carlisle or whoever, when you had like those 3 days off. Oh, it was gold. Because then you could practice and you could try to do something to like click it better, a little better together. And in this bye week, you have each individual person or people on the, who want to get together with their teammates or whatever. And it's all mental, not just for the Cowboys, for all teams. And so I don't know. I just don't know how much I think they can actually improve, because by the time they get back on the field, it's going to be like, are you ready for San Francisco?
They're here. I will say, I wrote 4 things down. Effort in practice can be fixed. That's something that Jimmy Johnson, that's something that
can't say that name anymore.
A former coach has
said
you can always change. coaching creativity can change.
Can I ask you a quick question about that? And this might be a segment for another day. I swear, I know I go on a rant here and there for scheduling purposes about Mike McCarthy not being to his press conference on time. But then when I was gone, I saw a story circulating about how he was like 52 minutes late for his presser on Monday.
Oh, really?
So
it was supposed to be at 2:30. That's
right. Some people might not think this is a big deal, but one of the things that always goes through my mind is he continually talks about we got to get back to the details in our practices. That I'm always like, you can't it's even get on detail. Time to your own press conference. Like, but you're the detail guy?
Yeah.
I'm trusting you to be the detail guy?
Effort, creativity, urgency, and the admission that you're old and slow right now. Like, that's what this team looks like at the moment.
It really does.